Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. We've been talking about the Lord bringing Peter back into fellowship after the Easter Sunday morning. It's exactly what the Lord wants to use Easter for in your life if you've been walking away or running away from Him. And we've been discussing the fact that Jesus called Peter back to Himself around a fire. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" You remember the conversation? Peter said, "Lord, I like you. You're special to me." But it wasn't the precious love, the agape love, that Jesus was looking for. And finally, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, you say you love me. Now let's stop talking and let's start serving, service." He told Peter, "I want you to feed my sheep." In other words, he said, "Peter, I want you to be a shepherd." See, God lets us serve Him with what little faith and strength we have, knowing that we'll gain more as we serve. Isn't that amazing? He didn't have a whole lot of faith, didn't have a whole lot of strength, but He said, "Peter, I want you to feed my sheep, feed my lambs." Service. Basically, He was saying to Peter, "Follow me. Follow me." And you know what his first step was as soon as he followed Him? It says he turned around and looked away from the Lord. You know, you can't follow Christ looking away from Him. As soon as he turned around, he saw John and he said, "Lord, how about this man? What shall this man do?" And Jesus said to him, "Peter, if this man stays alive until I return, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." You know, my friend, when you're serving the Lord, you have to get your eyes off everybody else. Stop comparing yourself with everybody else. Stop saying, "Well, they're not this and they're not that." Because as soon as I stop following Christ, I start comparing myself with others. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, "I'm not wise when I do that." Warren Wiersbe put it this way: "Look at self and be depressed. Look at others and be distressed. Look to Jesus and be blessed." Look to Jesus and be blessed. But you see, the service that the Lord wants us to offer to Him must be preceded by a proper time alone with Him. We see that demonstrated in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And it's the story of Mary and Martha serving the Lord. Jesus and the disciples had come to spend a few hours there in their home. And it says that Martha had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered or distracted with much serving and came to Him and said, "Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Wow. Here's Martha instructing God. Why? Because her sister Mary wasn't carrying her load. Do you find yourself lashing out at others who don't seem to be pulling their load? Is it possible that your rash, hurtful statements about them are maybe based on false assumptions and not facts? Joanna Weaver wrote a book entitled "Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World." This is what she said. What a woman. She opens her home to a band of 13 hungry men, possibly more. What a hostess. She doesn't whip up an impromptu casserole of Kraft macaroni and cheese and ballpark franks, as I've been known to do on occasion. Not her. She is original Martha Stewart, the New Testament's Proverbs 31 woman, and Israel's answer to Betty Crocker. Or at least that's the way I imagine her. She's the queen of the kitchen, and the rest of the house as well. And Luke's story starts with Martha in her glory. After all, this is Jesus. She scraps her ordinary everyday menu of soup and bread and pulls out her cookbooks. This, she decides, will be a banquet fit for a Messiah, for the Messiah. And so Martha sends one servant to the field to slaughter a lamb, another to the market to pick up a few of those luscious pomegranates that she saw yesterday. Like a military general, she barks commands to her kitchen staff: soak the lentils, pound the grain, knead the dough. So many things to do in so little time. She must make sure that the centerpiece and the napkins match and that the servants pour the drinks from the right and not the left. And Martha's mind is so busy as the room is filled with people. What would be just right for dessert? Maybe a little goat cheese with a tray of fresh fruit. Will Jesus and His followers stay overnight, and someone must change the sheets and fold some towels? Where's Mary? Has anybody seen Mary? She's asking the servant scurrying by. If Mary changed the sheets, Martha might have time to fashion an ark from the cheese and to carve the fruit into little animals marching two by two. Productions of this magnitude require the skill of a master planner, and Martha's an administrator extraordinaire, a whirling dervish of efficiency with a touch of Tasmanian she-devil thrown in to motivate the servants. The entire household is in an uproar, busy making ready to entertain the most famous teacher of their day, the man most likely to become the next king of Israel. But the anger that boils up inside of Martha at the sight of her lazy sibling sitting at the master's feet in the living room, it's simply too much. With everything still left to do, there sits little Mary, being quite contrary, crashing a party meant only for men. But worse, she seems oblivious to all of Martha's gesturing from the hall. Martha tries clearing her throat. She even resorts to her most effective tool, that evil eye, famous for stopping grown men in their tracks. But nothing she does has any effect on her baby sister. Mary only has eyes for Jesus. And finally, pushed to the limit, Martha does something unprecedented. She interrupts the boys' club, certain that Jesus will take her side. After all, a woman's place is in the kitchen. Her sister Mary should be helping prepare the meal. Martha realizes there's a cutting edge to her voice, but Jesus will understand. Well, he of all people, he knows what it's like to carry the weight of the world. Now, of course, you won't find all that in the Bible. Luke tends to downplay the whole story, dedicating only four verses to an event that was destined to change Martha's life forever, and mine as well. And yours, if you will let the simple truth of this passage soak deep into your heart. Instead of applauding Martha, Jesus gently rebukes her, telling her Mary has chosen what is better. Or as another translation puts it, Mary has chosen the good part. You see, service, it goes back to having a sweet time with the Lord first. What was that good part that Mary had chosen but Martha hadn't? Now, the Bible tells us that Mary had been serving, but she left Martha so that she could interrupt that good part with just sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him teach. You see, if there's to be a Mary part of our lives and a Martha part of our lives, and when one part is missing, we become lazy or bitter. Now, how do we get done all that simply has to be done? We sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus and let him prioritize what he wants us to do. We're talking about service. Because once he lets us know what's important, we can serve him with new direction and new joy. And in her eagerness to serve Jesus, Martha almost missed the opportunity to know Jesus. See, the world applauds achievement. God desires companionship. Are you on Martha overload? Are you the type of person that feels like you're the only person ever working? That you've got the ability to change all of the people around you, and they definitely need to be changed? Do you have the attitude, Lord, it's not fair? Don't you care? See, your condition is a distracted heart. There are responsibilities that are being drug around like a ball and chain. And then that leads to a discouraged heart. Weariness has crept in and a bitter spirit along with it. Kind of like Elijah after his confrontation with the 450 prophets of Baal, Elijah became very weary and very bitter. And then, of course, Martha developed a doubtful heart. Like God has forgotten my labor of love and nobody really cares. Now, how do you overcome a Martha overload? Well, you got to have some rest stops, like God gave Elijah. Pray about everything. Remember Corrie ten Boom? She said, any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden. Any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden. You need to spend time in God's Word for a different perspective. That's what Mary did. God's perspective, not yours. And then when you do, develop patience. Let God work out the details that haven't come together yet. You want to serve him? Then let God give you the details. And then mingle with friends who can help you, or maybe who can give you some interesting comments that will help prioritize your service for him. Now, which word describes you today? Are you on Martha overload? Is it, I'm always trying to do, but nobody seems to care? Are you always lashing out at other people? Maybe you just need to come aside, come apart, and let God give you his perspective. Let God give you the peace that passes all understanding. Let God give you the joy. The joy. You see, it's very possible to be serving the Lord so faithfully that we lose the joy of serving the Lord. Mary had it. Martha didn't. Now, which one characterizes you, my friend? Oh, you may give a very good answer. Why don't you ask those who know you best? Ask your family members. Ask your best friend. And ask them to be honest with you. And when they're honest with you, if indeed they've shared with you a truth that's hard to accept, that you're more like Martha than you are like Mary, then let this Easter season be one of a total change, a total resurrection, as it were, a total turning around of the motivation for serving. Because you see, Martha was quickly on her way to burnout. And there are many, many children of God so faithfully serving the Lord. And they're wondering, does God know everything that I'm doing? And the Lord wants to say, do you know everything that I'm doing? Because you see, what He's doing is so much more important than what we're doing. And when we finally get His perspective, when we finally spend enough time in the Word, that the Holy Spirit of God begins to give us His directives. The Bible says that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will teach you and guide you in all things. You spend enough time alone with the Lord for Him to guide you? You ever been in a conversation with someone? Well, it was a one-way conversation. You never got a word in edgewise. And they talked and talked and talked and talked, but never listened. Is that the way it is with you and the Lord? Do you ever pause and let God speak to your heart? Why don't you come aside like Mary did? Get your heart ready to serve Him again. Get the overload off of your plate. Don't be like Martha. Be like Mary. And we see that the next time Jesus and the disciples were in Mary and Martha's home, everything had changed. Now Martha's attitude was correct because she had the right perspective. My friend, make this Easter season a time when you get God's resurrected perspective on your service. And in doing so, it'll be the agape love that causes you to serve because you know Him like a dear friend. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.